Minimalism, serialism, and ultra-serialism, stochasticism, minimalism, the new romanticism, and so forth-ism. Mostly, this series will seek to explain why, historically, culturally, and musically, why the traditional tonal musical language, without any doubt, the greatest musical syntactical construct ever created by our species, a musical language employed quite successfully by composers ranging from Monteverdi to Mozart, Bach to Beethoven, from Haydn and Schubert and Chopin and Brahms to Tchaikovsky and all them dead Eurocats, from Israel Beilin, that would be Irving Berlin, Jacob Gershowitz, that would be George Gershwin, Robert Zimmerman, that would be Bob Dylan, to John Lennon, that would be John Lennon. Why the traditional tonal language became increasingly irrelevant to an increasingly large number of composers as the 20th century progressed. Yes, I'll be the first to admit the risks of abandoning traditional tonality were and remain huge. Chief among those risks, the alienation of the bulk of the listening audience. This is something we will discuss at length, though I personally take some limited solace in the knowledge that in their own time, neither Bach, Mozart, nor Beethoven, for example, were considered among the popular composers of their time. Generally, but accurately speaking, the majority of their mature works were considered by their contemporaries to be too long, too complicated, and too esoteric, which reminds us that all music was, once upon a time, new music. An existential characteristic of new music is that it is new. It lacks familiarity and will therefore rarely fall easily on the ears of its contemporary audience. So let's take heart. The issue of audience comprehensibility in 20th century music is nothing new. So even as we come to grips with the demise of traditional tonality, we will observe that in its place, there evolved a dazzling variety of new approaches to the musical language, some of them admittedly less listenable than others, but all of them fascinating and completely of their time. For example, I'm going to ask you to listen to the beginnings of four pieces of mid-20th century music written within just 9 years of each other. The opening fanfare of Igor Stravinsky's ballet Aegon of 1957, the opening of Terry Riley's In C of 1964, the opening of Pierre Boulez's Structures for Two Pianos of 1961, and the opening of the fourth movement of Walter Piston's Symphony No. 6 of 1955. Listen, please, to about the first 2 minutes of each. If you choose to go further, good for you, but try, do try, to survive that long. From the brilliant neoclassicism of Stravinsky's fanfare opening to Aegon, to the throbbing joy of Terry Riley's minimalist masterpiece In C, to the Take No Prisoners modernism of Pierre Boulez's Structures Book II, to the uplifting Americana of the fourth movement of Walter Piston's Symphony No. 6, these four works would seem to come from different planets, and yet they were composed at almost exactly the same time. Not since the construction of the Tower of Babel had so many artists working cheek by jowl spoken so many different languages. Our approach. Our approach to the dazzling variety of 20th century music will take three intersecting tracks. Track one, context. Typical of what I do, we will explore the evolving languages of 20th century concert music as a reflection of a rapidly, often dangerously, changing environment. Track two focuses on the big boys, the three most important and influential composers